Hello, and welcome to the Loop Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Elise Steverman, Director of Marketing at Kwegi. Let's get started.
Okay, today we've got Ryan Green, Vice President of Marketing and Innovation, as well as Savannah Westbrook, Account Strategy Director, talking about strategies to really fully research media plans that goes beyond just what you're seeing in the tools. So to kick us off, what are the different types of research you feel like strategists should be looking into to find insights that really propel the brand forward?
You know, how as media has evolved to be a lot more than just the blocking and tackling of impressions and GRPs, so too have the tools we've used to really research and understand audiences, to understand the industries and verticals that our businesses are in. We traditionally have used syndicated research, things like MRI, Simmons, to help us understand media consumption. But brand challenges are so much more than that. You know, we do need to lean into competitive analysis, and we have more competitive analysis tools at Kwegi and just generally for the industry to let us really understand what the industry and the verticals and competitors are doing. I think there's also a qualitative element too, right? We have a lot more data from the social platforms, being able to use social listening tools that I think are really important. I know Savannah's, you know, knee deep in this with a lot of her clients, so
interested to hear. I would add on your qualitative point, you know, I come from a journalism background. So I think when a lot of marketers think about research, we go to our tools first and we sort of forget everything else at our disposal too. So approaching it sort of with that mentality of, okay, let me do a Google search first. Like, let me read what else the press coverage has been on this topic. You know, what's happening in the vertical, what's happening in the industries that might overlap with our clients' interests. You can get a lot of really strong insights out of that to help contextualize the kind of data that you can get from syndicated research tools, platforms, everything else out there.
And the last thing I would say is also looking at your own data. Historically, what has a client already done when they've been in market, evaluating what's been successful and not for them. A lot of that has to do with measurement, but I look at historical data from clients as a first place to be able to kind of understand where they've been, especially with digital tools, to be able to get a starting point to understand and build on that quantitative analysis, but then layering in the qualitative data that's around as well is really significant.
I think you bring up an interesting point, you know, something that we deal with a lot at Kwegi, of clients who are at very different stages of their brands. Mm-hmm. We've worked with startups to established household names. So for those brands that are kind of in that startup phase or in the challenger brand phase, how do you help bring them to the forefront and can be competitive with others who have been advertising for years?
In a lot of ways, they have a blank slate, right? They can draft off of what the legacy brands are doing and really learn probably how to be more efficient. I was talking to a challenger brand last week who's really going head-to-head with somebody who's been the leader in the business for 30 years, a CPG brand, and we were looking at the inefficiencies that legacy brand had on television, having a lot of duplicated reach when they were advertising to those same audiences in the same vertical in the same way. You can take that and say, hey, you know, our competitive tool says that our largest competitor is spending $10 million a year on Twitter. Well, you know, maybe we shouldn't play there. Maybe TikTok is going to be something that can be more effective, a lot more white space there, right? So that's, you know, one way you can really learn from what the behemoths are doing and do the opposite or find more effective ways to engage your audience.
Yeah, challenger brands have the opportunity to be a bit more creative with their strategies, be a bit more innovative. I found, especially working closely with a lot of the people we've worked with in challenger brands, they're not shy about being a little bit scrappier. They're more willing to say, okay, I know that TikTok's maybe not 100% something that I'm comfortable with, but why don't we try it for 2 to 3 months and just sort of reevaluate? I think there's maybe a little less red tape when you're working on a challenger brand versus a household name.
And I think the challenger brands also take some maybe non-media related data and use that in a more efficient way. You know, brands that were able to really understand what was going on the ground with COVID, maybe in a travel vertical, may have been able to advertise to places that weren't hot zones or vice versa. You know, we have a financial client that is maybe looking at inflation numbers and knowing what that's going, you know, being able to have almost a predictive model, not from media, but what's happening, you know, in the economy at large to predict when and where and why they should be advertising. You know, that can be something that can be very effective as well.
And, you know, thinking about the marketing landscape, things are changing all the time and the brand's changing all the time. And something that we are, of course, are keeping our eyes on are the cookieless future and being able to be nimble with that. So do you think that marketing managers or, you know, practitioners should be thinking about research in a different light when thinking about the cookieless future? Are there tools that are going to no longer be effective that we've historically relied on as more of a data-driven strategy has emerged?
There's a couple things I think that you'd have to think about. We started to talk about the historical analysis. You know, some of that data that you may have used for that analysis isn't going to be actionable going into the cookieless future, right? So as you, maybe you had a discovery that a very specific niche audience was, you know, had the lowest return on ad spend or the lowest CAC for that, for your brand, you may not be able to target them later in that same specific way. So how can you take that insight and develop a contextual strategy, or maybe, you know, develop an influencer strategy to still reach that audience without that data, right? I think that's one thing to be looking at. And it also means that there may be some more qualitative signals that are gonna be just as important as some of the quantitative ones as well. Research is both an art and a science. You need to be able to have some specific numbers in front of you that can justify some of the assumptions and hypotheses that you're making. But you also need to trust your gut, and especially people that have been in the field for a while, or people who are familiar with brand marketers that have been with your same company for 10 years. You probably have a good instinct of who your audience is too. So you, just because we have so much data, quantitative data in front of us, let's not ignore the intuition that you've built up as well. Because a lot of times that's right, and it's a lot cheaper to go with than, you know, doing some longitudinal studies that can have a pretty big price tag with them.
So how do you determine when you've been using too much science and not enough art in your research, and taking a step back to have the intuition come forward and the creativity to also be explored?
Well, I think it starts with just getting an understanding of what the methodology behind the research that you're viewing actually mm-hmm. is. So, I mean, that's one positive shift we've seen, I think, in our industry, as we've talked about regulation and the cookieless future and everything else in mind, is people have that understanding of, okay, if I don't truly take a step back and understand what I'm reading, understand what I'm looking at, I'm not necessarily going to know what I can trust and what I can't trust. And I think that just underlines what Ryan was mm-hmm. saying. Oftentimes your gut and your team conversations, that insight is going to become increasingly valuable when you're looking at maybe platform data that's not as expansive as it once was, or syndicated research studies maybe have a little bias in them as well. You know, people answering surveys on the street might not 100% be truthful with, you know, how much time they're spending on YouTube in a day.
With the cookieless future coming, there means that AI is going to be less effective. And for years, digital marketers could really probably eschew doing some deeper research because the algorithm was going to auto-optimize towards your highest propensity users. With some of that breaking down, I think that there's going to be more emphasis on planning and more emphasis on finding the right research and being accurate in the research phase and not just giving it to the algorithm and letting it go. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see if some of the kind of research muscle has had some atrophy from marketers that have just allowed black box algorithms to make decisions for you. Now the decision is going to come back to the humans and a little bit more. So it's going to be really interesting to see which brands are able to shift there and be able to continue to have a growth mindset when it's not machine learning that's going to be driving as much.
So I know that it's a best practice for a lot of agencies to conduct quarterly business reviews to look at what's happened over the last 3 months and where do we foresee going and then, you know, as we move forward. But what are the tools and platforms, et cetera, that you lean on in those in-between moments to keep a pulse on what's happening with your brand and not just looking at a snapshot in, you know, one quarter at a time?
I think there's a couple things. One is having a very sound measurement strategy from the beginning, whether you're reliant on a lot of automation or whether you're doing a lot of direct buys. You need to be able to measure what matters from the beginning, because that makes mid-flight optimizations a lot more clear and a lot more impactful.
I would say, practically speaking, in the day-to-day, in addition to having a strong measurement strategy, you really have to commit to not just setting and forgetting a campaign. So looking outside of your platforms as well, one thing I like to do if I'm working in a specific vertical is set up Google alerts for key trends that are relevant, monitoring Google trends. Certainly there are non-Google resources as well that I probably need to look into, but I found that those are just really reliable and simple and straightforward to use, and also simple and straightforward to share with my clients who maybe don't have as heavy of a research background, maybe wouldn't 100% understand if I'm giving them language about percent change and indexing.
So what are the most common pitfalls you've seen marketers be challenged with when it comes to doing the upfront research for the media strategies, and how do you help them navigate those challenges?
I think there's so much data available in research that you can pretty much prove most points that you want. If you think the audience is millennial moms, there will be an evidence somewhere that will point to, yes, that is who your audience is. So there can be, some bias that I think it's clearly inherent in the way statistics are used in the news, that can be used to justify anything that you want it to. So really being able to be agnostic and honest and allow the data to tell the story and not find the story or the data to tell your story, I think is something that certainly is an art that media planning that media planners need to be able to focus on, the ones that are effective, right?
Well, and the other side of that too is you have to accept and be transparent when your research or the data that you're finding doesn't back up your hypothesis. So I think that's one of the more powerful things you can do in terms of just forming relationships with the people you're working with, is saying, you know, we came to the table making this assumption. The research is indicating otherwise. So maybe we should pivot, or maybe we mm-hmm. should adjust this strategy.
And I think adjacent to that point too is a lot of times you're finding research that may be important to you, or as an agency person may be important, that you find as interesting from a media perspective, but your clients really don't, right? Or maybe your direct relationship you have with a brand director, maybe it's important to them but isn't really impactful to the CMO or the board of directors. So a lot of times I think you have to take a couple different angles with it. You need to be able to answer the question that's in front of you in a brief, but I think you also have to think about a couple layers where that gets passed to as well, and what's really going to be impactful for the brand and not just impactful for your media plan.
So I think that's an interesting topic to explore. So thinking about the question behind the question, essentially.
Yes.
And I know something that, you know, as I've worked with brands and agencies, there's always the desire for the big idea. Mm-hmm. What's your big idea that's going to keep you sticky and flashy? So when you're being tasked with finding the big idea, where do you start?
I think it starts in different places at different times. If you have a predestined big idea in your head, I think that's probably the wrong way to start. I think you need to ground yourself in a variety of different types of research. We kind of talked about some of those buckets, whether it's historical data that came from campaigns, whether it's from competitive analysis, whether it's from Google Trends or knowing what's going on in a vertical. You don't want to force it, but you do have to come up with that idea. And a lot of times we have, you know, maybe a couple weeks to conduct that research. And if you're on a pitch team, something needs to be placed that is a big idea. So you do have to start making some assumptions. You have to start, trying a couple different versions. You don't want to get to the 11th hour and not have that story or have that kind of central theme, because it's going to be hard to build a compelling case around that. So there's some timing to it, but you should just immerse yourself in all of the different angles of data that you can have, and hopefully the idea comes to itself, and hopefully it comes from a couple of different types of data sources too. If the syndicated data is saying the same thing, the historical data that is saying the same thing that your intuition and spidey sense is yelling at you, that's probably a good direction to go in. Find the supporting facts around that, and then field test it with some of your colleagues too, and say, hey, you know, is this something that's breakthrough? Is this something that's compelling? Is this something that's unique? There's a lot of non-unique ideas in marketing. A lot of people come to the same conclusion when looking at evidence too. So there's a creative component to getting there.
Well, and I think that's where taking that journalistic approach can really help you too, because, mm-hmm. you know, we talk a lot about data and trends and all of these resources, but truly, if you have a solid understanding of who your audience is or who you think your audience is and how they behave, just mimic their behavior for an hour or so. You know, if they are heavy Twitter users and you know sort of like, oh, this data is indicating they use these hashtags, actually read through that content, you know, go to the subreddits that they might frequent, watch the things that might be relevant to them. You know, maybe don't do the Netflix watching on company time, but like really explore it and see if those insights are really gonna be dug out of the way that your audience is actually living day to day.
It's pretty funny to watch people pitch a TikTok strategy that have
never
been on TikTok. And that kind of BS happens more often than you think.
So if you were going to give a marketer your one piece of advice of what to do research well for your media strategy, what would you say?
I would say don't limit yourself. Don't put yourself in a box and think, okay, you know, my company subscribes to these three tools. I need to use these and only these. You know, really let yourself take a creative approach to your research process.
I agree. You need to start with what you know. You can start small too, because you can get into analysis paralysis very quickly. So it's fine to start with the three that your company subscribes to and ground yourself and do deep there, but then shift to that qualitative approach, the journalistic approach, the getting in the mind of the user, the Google Trends, that softer stuff is what really ends up finding the emotion and telling the story. And a lot of times gets the communication strategy part of it into a good place that you can, you know, use the syndicated quantitative research as a springboard to a really 360 complete way of looking at a problem.
Great. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening. Kwegi is an industry-leading performance marketing agency based in the Midwest. We've learned a lot since our founding in 2014 and started the Loop Marketing Podcast to share some of our hot takes on marketing trends we're following, best practices we've discovered, and actionable tips for improving your digital strategy. We'll see you next time.